Hello, hello, hello! I'm Mike Buzzard Hartman, and we're live here at Oshkosh. How's everyone doing out there today? We got Andy Hines.
Hello, Mike. How you doing? This is great.
It is wonderful out here.
Yeah,
we've
absolutely.
Got Matt in the newsroom. Matthew, how the heck are you?
I'm doing great, guys.
God, he sounds good today.
Yeah, he does. He's looking good, too.
Listen to that voice. He's always in radio mode, even when he's talking normal.
Right.
I mean, even when he's outside of the radio.
It is nice to be here at Air Venture.
Absolutely.
It's very nice to be here at Air Venture.
It is. And it is beautiful.
Celebrating 10 years now, we have lined up some A-listers. We won't play A-lister here for you today, but we've lined up some A-listers. Scott Slocum is going to be with you guys today.
Nice.
Well as the author, Gordon Page. And then we have a surprise visit from the movie The Last Man Club that will be here hopefully at 10:30.
Okay.
A surprise visit.
I'm like worried because I saw somebody that looked very similar to him take off in a Mustang.
Oh.
We'll see
what happens. Yep. We'll see how it shakes loose. So anyway, Scott Slocum, the photographer who's here with us right now from the Bombshells category of calendar, you may have seen those.
That's correct.
He's
mm-hmm.
brought a nice young lady here, Miss Amanda, with us. This is how we do it, Andy. This is the high tech. We're out of room, so we have to
plug in the microphone.
So,
okay.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you today? You're Amanda, right?
I sure am. Wonderful. How are you?
Good, good. I'm Mike. This is Andy.
Hi, Mike and Andy.
How you doing?
One of the Bombshells, correct?
Yep. I sure am.
Nice.
One of the longest standing Bombshells.
Longest
actually.
Standing? How long is that?
I'm not 22 like I look.
She's been standing a long time waiting for this interview. I think that's what she's
talking about. I gotcha. All right. Scott Slocum's with us. Scott, how are you?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Great. We've seen some of your work. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what you do? You can hold the mic there if
Absolutely.
You want.
Yes. Well, I am a pilot. I'm a photographer. And then it collided together about 10 years ago to shoot airplanes out of another airplane. And I love it. Shoot air-to-air photography. And I like to specialize in warbirds. And actually, my wife is the one who said, because I was doing calendars for my customers, and she says, why don't you do something that will sell? And I'm like, what? Well, why don't you put girls with them? And I didn't question her. I said,
okay,
that's fine.
That's all right.
So 10 years ago, we started this, and I did some research on pinup, did some research on nose art, and how important it was back in World War II. These pilots would put the nose art on the aircraft, and it was like their good luck charm. They reminded them of home, or reminded them of what they were fighting for. And so suddenly it became a really good fit for warbirds and pinup. And so we decided to bring it back with a modern-day flair. And we have been doing this, again, like I said, for 10 years and been coming to Oshkosh now for 10 years, and we love it here.
That's mm-hmm. great.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
Great. Amanda? Why don't you tell us a little bit about how you got started, what you do?
Yeah, I met Scott, and we got started, I think it's been seven years ago that we started. And there's such a, it's almost like a family. You know, once you come in and you shoot well and you do well, you just come back every year. And so it's just a big group of girls that we've all been with them for a while. And we get to do Oshkosh, and we do Reno. We've done Sun and Fun, so we get to go all over the place and be with this great guy and Kavanaugh Flight Museum. It's a lot of fun.
Are you getting any flight time in?
Am I? he let me fly one time on my way to a shoot, and I got to go through the clouds. Other than that, I mustn't have done very well because I was never invited back. So.
Oh.
Maybe I scared him.
The problem was I was distracted.
Yeah.
I'll take that.
Now, why would you be distracted? What were we just talking about?
Yeah.
No.
I'm Andy.
Oh, hello, hello, hello. Yeah. Welcome to the Herman and Hines Show. No, that's great.
Where did Pete run off to? Pete just disappeared when everybody showed up.
I don't know.
Yeah, brother Pete.
Yeah.
Yes. We had another Hines here.
Yeah, we do. But
and his brother Pete, who...
He has a Navy on. And Scott would sell the Bonanza if he knew about Pete's Navy on, I think.
Yeah.
Because this Navy on allegedly climbs at what, like
6,000
feet a minute?
At like 4,500 foot, 5,000 foot per minute. It is crazy.
Wow.
Yeah, he's got a big motor on it, put a giant prop on it. It really cracks.
Yeah, there's Pete right there.
Now, hey, Pete.
See, Scott, you should really work out with Pete one day to shoot his really famous Waco that he has. It was one of two built.
Right.
It, unfortunately, it lost the race that it was built for. So
second place.
You know.
Yeah.
First place
loser.
First place loser. There you go. So
if you ain't first, you're last.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, there you go.
Well, we would love to see it. We'd love to shoot warbirds.
Beautiful.
That's what we're doing. We're shooting. We probably have about 20 photo missions we'll be doing while we're here all week long.
Mm-hmm.
And we're shooting for EA Warbirds, Warbird Digest. And we just love it. We go up every morning, got 4 o'clock wake-up call, and, you know, we shoot in the evening when the sunset.
Yeah, when it's
beautiful
prettiest,
light,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, what's your photo ship? What do you use it?
We have an A36 Bonanza.
Okay.
And the A36 is unique in that it's certified to go ahead and take the doors off of it. It's placarded. It has the speeds on it to be able to do that. So it's a really nice, convenient photo platform. And we've done some things to ours to make it go a little faster as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we can shoot jets and the fighters and things like that.
Great. Right. Great.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's pretty neat. That's pretty neat. So let's go back to Amanda here. For
absolutely.
Yeah. I'm done talking with you, Scott, okay?
Y'all are too much.
I tell you, he's a tough one.
Yeah.
You
know? Well, no, I was just curious with the the gals
go ahead,
that
Andy.
Go around with you.
Sure.
Now, are there 12 different girls that go? I mean, do
not
you do it like
typically.
That?
Typically, okay. it's a much smaller number of girls, and a lot of us have multiple months in the calendar.
Okay.
So it's a nice core group. But what's nice is we've been around so long that now that we come to the shows, we've already had 3 or 4 people this morning that have remembered us from all the other years, and it's almost a tradition. They come every year.
Oh.
They get a calendar every year, and they remember all the girls and, you know, what month are you this year, and they get excited about it.
Yeah.
So
it's
fun.
Okay. Now, do you ever do any of the, you know, the retro style, though, you know, wearing the vintage clothes? And, you know, do the hairdo with it all?
Yeah, we don't necessarily do the vintage hairdo. A lot of times we'll do, you know, wavy curls.
Right, yeah.
It's hard to do the curls and sit out in the heat all day because it's just a lot of work for nothing. They'll be gone in a couple minutes.
Right.
But the outfits, we tried. I mean, we're all matching today. You know, we all have polka dots on. And each day we have a different outfit. Some of the guys come back each day just to see what we're wearing. But, yes, it is a mix between retro but yet modern day to kind of fit the modern figure.
Right.
And to kind of add to that, I mean, our theme has always been kind of vintage bathing suits, one-piece bathing suits.
Yeah.
And the Varga style back then is kind of what we're going after there.
Yeah, yeah.
But we want to keep it kind of a modern feel to it as well.
Okay. Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Ten years now doing this, though, Scott.
10 years.
I mean, that's great.
Yeah. What are we going to see in this calendar that's different?
This is a special one. Yes, this is a special one. So because it's the 10th year, we're doing a sort of special anniversary, and we're doing the best of the bombshell years. So you're going to see a lot of the older photos from the past years that people really loved that we're repeating. And there's some new ones in there as well. But it is special in that way.
Scott's just taking the year off. Don't lie.
Actually, it was a lot harder than I thought to go through
and figure
this,
it out,
the shots. Because when I started doing this, I wasn't very good at shooting girls.
Right.
I was good at shooting airplanes. But anyway, the shots that are in there are from some of the older shoots, but they're shots that they weren't in the other calendars. They were from those shoots, but they're new shots that have not been seen before. And then the Warbird pictures in there are all brand new to go along with it. So it's a combination of some of our best stuff and vintage stuff, and some of the girls that have retired are in there too. So it's kind of neat to see them come back in the calendar, and it was fun.
Well, here's a question for you, Scott. We'll go ahead and let him talk some more. when you do a shoot, okay, so let's say you go up to Bill Smith and he's got a P-51, okay, and you say, hey, Bill, we'd like to do a photo shoot using the girls with your airplane. Have you ever had anybody say no?
They do say no until they see him.
No, we don't want. Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
It's funny because then they'll say, well, they can't touch the airplane. And then when the model shows up, oh, yeah, you can climb wherever you want to. Go right here, you know. This is the best sales tool in the world. Yeah. But, no, we are very careful about keeping it at a certain level.
Sure.
And we don't go past that, and people respect that. They know that about our brand, and that's one of the reasons I think that people respond well to what we're doing here.
Yeah.
And, there's lingerie ones that are out there. You know, there's all kinds, but we maintain a certain – standard, and our brand is, you know, like I call ourselves the SI of the pinup world because we do the bathing suits.
Right.
But every once in a while you'll have somebody say, you know, that's just not really what we're about. But
very rarely. Yeah. Okay.
So give us an example, like when your model shows up, what do they do the rest of the week when they're not posing at bombshells? What Give us some insight, some background. What
do
you ladies
actually, do? All of us are very well educated and have great jobs. Multiple of us are business owners. I'm a business owner. And so for me, this is the only modeling that I do anymore. It's the only one that I will do. I enjoy it that much. I continue with it. But we have a nurse in the group. I think one of our girls does model full time, and we have some girls that do fitness full time.
Right.
But yeah, a lot of us are in business or finance.
Any that have gotten into aviation as a result?
Yes, actually, we do have. Am I allowed to say her name?
Carrie.
Yeah. Carrie Dawson was a bombshell for a few years, and her dad Stu. I know that they have.
He races rare bear and is one of the most popular warbird pilots and examiners out there.
Right.
I'm sure.
We've had Stu Dawson. Yeah, great guy.
Yeah, so, I mean, we don't require that they know that or be able to fly, but it's
well,
nice.
I think it's a neat caveat, though, to see the reach of this calendar. I mean,
right.
It certainly got Andy and Mike into aviation 10
right,
years
exactly.
ago.
Right, exactly, when we were models.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is that how you
yes.
started?
Yeah,
yes,
exactly.
That's how we got started out flying originally.
Fitness really. Models, right.
But yeah. you
right.
hit on something yeah. that, you know, the Warbird movement is a passion of mine, and we were looking also for something to help connect to a younger generation to get them to introduce to these aircraft. And this is timeless here, obviously.
Do you find that young guys are attracted to these calendars, Scott? I mean,
we're seeing more and more of that.
More and more
yeah,
of that,
uh-huh.
yeah.
Just before I walked over here, we had a group of young guys, and I said, you guys were here last year. And they said, you know, our parents brought us, and we met you, and now a group of us, you know, they were kids then, but we come every year, and we can't wait to see you. And they not only were appreciative that we remembered them, but the fact that, you know, these kids came with their parents probably not expecting to, you know, maybe they were expecting to be bored, or, you know, it's a young kid thing. And now they're excited to come every year. And I don't know how much of a part of that we were, but it feels good just to know that, you know, that was their first stop this morning. So,
Andy, I know you're going to ask this question. How can they find a bombshell calendar, Scott?
So we are online at www.mybombshells.com. And we also historic sales sells our calendar. But we don't do a lot of wholesale. The website and the email list has been growing, and so that's mostly where we sell. And, of course, if you come to Oshkosh this week, we'll be on the Scott's Warbird Alley over there with the Lewis Group B-25. And they're right under the wing there. We'd love to sign calendars and take pictures with you. It's kind of an annual thing. We had a guy came to me as I was setting up the booth saying, where's the girls? I have been here every year, and I'm ready for my calendar. I'm like, they'll be here.
Nobody wants to see you, Scott. That's the problem. Yeah. Yeah, well.
In fact, I make it a point to stay away from the booth because sales go down. I show up.
Who's this guy? He's kind of creepy. What's going on?
That's right.
Well, he's hanging around taking pictures of us.
That's right.
Jesus. Yeah. Oh, man. Well, thanks for coming by, Scott.
Thank you very much. Mike and Andy
aren't going to let you leave.
Yeah. Well, we sure appreciate it.
This is our special 9-hour show.
Yeah, right.
Great. Thank y'all for having us.
Thanks for coming by.
It was great having you guys on.
So you love your work. You do a great job. I've seen it before, and it's wonderful.
Thank you very much. We really appreciate it. And as we say, we want to keep them flying.
Yeah.
That's what we're all about. We will do that.
Thank you, sir.
Yep.
Thank you, Scott Slocum there. And the bombshells. Now, we're going to quick link that into the show story. I promise.
Okay.
It'll be quick. Does Pete have something he's trying to say?
Yeah, I want Pete to say hi. Come here, say howdy. You know, don't pull it too hard. We got bad technology here.
Well, thanks there, Buzzard. I really appreciate your hospitality here, and it's just wonderful being here with my two great friends, Andy Hines and Mike Buzzard Hartman.
Yes.
He's your brother. You kind of have to say that.
Okay. Well, my brother.
You got the Lucas family over there, you know.
Well, we got the whole family here, the whole Moraine family.
Right. And you got a new addition?
I got my new addition. Wendy's here with me.
She's my co-pilot.
Well, Buzzard was my co-pilot, but she's was my inspiration on the way up here.
Yeah. Sure. We talked to Buzzard yesterday, and He made a reference that he had more tailwheel time than a friend of ours has total time, and that he felt it was his chance to go fly one of those cool airplanes. So we're trying to hook Buzzard up with some faster airplanes, so he may not need a co-pilot anymore.
That's right,
Pete. We're trying to put him out, throw him out of the nest.
Throw him out of the nest.
Get him out, you know?
It was kind of a check flight on the way up here as my co-pilot, but, you know, I'm not sure if I'm ready to sign him off yet. There were some decisions there that, you know, they were touch and go there for a while.
He needs me. He needs me.
We think alike. I don't know if that's good or that's bad.
How's it going down at the camp this year? Everything going fine?
Oh, yeah. Good. Yep, no problems.
Good deal. Well, another A-lister for you gentlemen today. Pete, you got to meet Gordon Page.
Gordon, glad to meet you.
he's written a book here. Mike, it's Left to Right.
Oh,
Chasing Planes.
So, okay, yeah. I got that. Yeah.
It's a great book that Gordon's written. So you guys get to know each other.
All right.
I'm going to sit over here and drink my water.
Gordon, how you doing? Mike Buzzard Hartman.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Chasing Planes.
Yes, it's not in Chinese yet, so it does read American here.
Okay, all right, good.
Yeah, turn it right side up, Mike.
Oh, those are English.
Yeah. There are pictures, too, there.
Yeah, right? I see that. That's my favorite kind of book, I tell you. See, we've kind of got a picture motif going on today,
right.
You know, with Slocum, you know.
And
how are you?
I'm doing good.
Do you want to ask Gordon anything?
Sure, we'll
all
talk
right,
about
let's talk about it. This I did a brief brush
nope.
through on
thanks,
this.
Gordon.
Yeah, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks, Gordon.
Have a nice day.
And I want this. This is good, and it looks great. And I'm definitely going to get one of these from you after the show.
Well,
but
all right. Well, let's start off with this. Tell us how you got into writing books like this, where you're researching wrecks, you're researching airplanes around the world, and how did you get into that?
Well, Chasing Planes is actually my second book. First book being Warbird Recovery, and that particular book was about going around the world, namely Russia, and hunting warbirds, dealing with the Russian mafia, the KGB, a don't try this at home story.
Right.
Wow.
Chasing Planes is the sequel, and the reason that I wrote this is that Warbird was one adventure, and I wanted to put something together that was more like, I would say, pub stories. Like, you know, going to Oshkosh,
right.
Running into you guys,
right.
And I was on this radio show, and did you know, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really what this is all about. And actually, one of the chapters, and you might notice on the cover of the B-29, I ran into a friend of mine, Steve Swift, here at Oshkosh 2 years ago, and he had a name tag on, Steve Swift, B-29. I'm like, why do you have that on? He goes, you'll see. About 15 minutes later, he's jumping into Fifi and doing the show.
Uh-huh.
I had no idea he was flying it. He goes, hey, gets done with the show. What are you doing next Thursday? I don't know. What am I doing? Well, me being Sioux Falls, we're gonna fly Fifi back to Denver, which is where I'm from.
Uh-huh.
So we did, and had a Mustang join us. It was an incredible, crazy flight. One of those stories I had to tell.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I've got in this habit of, during my day job of buying and selling planes, I'm an appraiser for a lot of warbirds, of keeping some good notes and really having these adventures of an airplane fanatic. And that's really where I came up with
mm-hmm.
that. So it's not easy to write a book. I said after the first one, I'm never doing it again. But you guys have evidence that I
right.
I broke that promise.
Right.
Well, I don't know what would be harder, writing the book or dealing with the KGB.
Did you ever have your gas tank welded shut, Gordon? Did that ever happen to you?
No. But I had my windshield wiper stolen, you know, for rubber sealing around a vegetable shed or something over there.
Wow.
Everybody has these eclectic stories. The worst I heard was a guy that had his gas tank welded shut.
They demanded cash,
and they welded it shut so he couldn't get away.
Really?
Yeah. This is a bad idea.
We just
to
paid
weld
the money,
down a gas tank.
Well, it's kind of like going down to Moraine for a night. You never know what's going to happen to your car. I mean, there's
that's right.
Dangerous.
That's our home airport.
Dangerous.
Okay.
In India 73 in Dayton, Ohio.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've got
that one.
Dangerous.
Yes.
Places down there in Dayton, Ohio, around Moraine. Stay away. In fact, don't even fly in there.
Guys are hanging.
You know,
with some
it's a terrible
tough
place.
Crowd there.
Yeah. Now you know he's pushing people away from us. We're really trying to get people to come down.
Terrible
and
place. Right. Moraine sucks. Don't go there. It's best untouched. I think. Yeah.
Come on down, Gordon. We'll take care of you.
Yeah, I am sure of that.
Yep.
Another chapter.
Yes.
Yeah.
Maybe a story
it would be
or two.
A chapter.
I mean, your airport, though, guys, it really is. I think Gordon would love it because it is sort of a place of a bygone era. I mean, you can show up and fly anything and just have a good time. Well,
right.
Nothing that Andy And he owns an airplane, but he doesn't. It's on static display.
Well, we know all about that with Spirit of Flight.
Yeah, well, right.
And static planes, you can come sit in them anytime, Andy.
Yeah.
He has a few that he sits in, too. But
yeah.
Your stuff's flying now.
Yeah. It's all flying.
Yeah, it's all flying now.
Everything's
good.
Everything's good.
Yeah, we have a lot of antique airplanes in our
airport. Nice.
So. Yeah.
Yep.
Every time
those
you show up.
Scare me, by the way. Andy.
Yeah. Yeah.
That old technology. Yeah. Rickety.
Yeah. Every time you show up, though, Andy's like, oh, I'm sorry. It's too bad the airplane's broken today, Matt. If you'd shown up, we'd go flying, but, you know, the gas pump's broken again.
Yeah.
The gas tank's welded shut. Yeah. You didn't pay your bill.
Something about it needs a credit card.
Yeah. And I don't have one.
I don't have one.
But if
anymore.
You have one,
yeah, we
might
flying.
Be able to work
it's
this
fixed.
Out.
We could go
flying. Yeah.
It's fixed.
All of a sudden, there's gas in it, and we go.
Who knew?
Yeah, who knew? I tell you.
Yeah.
You got to go.
You never want to go with even half full tanks.
No.
Always
fill
on a top dog.
Yeah, and maybe a couple extra 5-gallon cans.
Exactly.
Too.
So the next book.
Before we get, we have a tendency to go. But.
But the next book, you ought to go down to Moraine and have a night, I think, Gordon.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm open to any kind of adventure.
It's an adventure.
As long as it's safe. Hey, I flew with you. I'm here to talk about that.
So. Well, yes. Okay, let's talk about that. Let's talk about flying with Matt.
What kind of stick is old Matt Johnny?
Oh, boy. Here we go.
I mean, you'd think that this guy would be smooth as buttermilk.
Well, we flew out of Gum Creek.
Okay, Gum Creek.
I'll let Gordon tell the story, but
well,
it was fun.
I pick my battles with people I'm going to fly with, especially out of something's got tall pines jutting all around. That was kind of a scary
little
field.
It's an aviator's strip, one way in, one way out.
Pack in with a
dog.
And was this in the Taylor craft or in the chipmunk?
No, this was in the chipmunk.
Okay.
Yeah,
the chipmunk. No way in the Taylor craft was I going to go out of that.
We wouldn't have gotten out. It's an aviator's strip, Mike Hartman.
Aviator's strip, and he doesn't even like flying a tiger moth.
Yeah, I know.
The fire-breathing tiger moth. Yeah. Gordon, have you flown one of those fire-breathing tiger moths?
Those things scare me, Matt.
I'm telling you.
I was shocked that we had one hanging off the wing that day.
I know.
But you did a fine job of flying. Again, I really picked my battles. This guy is a good stick, just saying.
You hear that?
Look at him.
Yeah.
Jared, you might want to loosen up your headset there.
Yeah. Looks like it's growing.
Yes.
He let me fly it about 15 seconds, as I recall.
Oh, we had a good time.
That's good enough for that turn. I'll take it from here. So.
Yeah.
Mike, trust me.
Give it back.
No, he's a good stick. It was a good day. It might be a chapter in the next Chasing Planes.
Yeah, the day I survived. Yeah. That's a fun airstrip, though, isn't it?
That was really cool. That was a good
one way in and one way out, and that's fun airport.
Yep.
It's a par 5 with a dog leg to the right.
With a dog leg, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That's nice.
Yeah.
That's nice. That is an aviator strip. That's good.
A little sand trap here and there.
Oh, yeah? Maybe you're actually on a golf course, Matt.
Yeah. Have you thought about that?
Yes.
That's what that flag was.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's right.
Exactly.
I thought that was the windsock.
Right.
Yes, and that stuff you've been eating, that's peyote. Yeah, so we're going to want to stay off of that.
All right. Back to Gordon.
Gordon.
Oh, hey.
Hey,
how
you doing, Gordon?
Yeah. Damn glad to meet you.
Tell him about the Spirit of Flight Center, your day job.
Hey, we've got okay, so I have this this hobby out of control out in Denver area called Spirit of Flight Center, and it's my full-time non-paying job. Day job, I buy and sell planes. I'm an appraiser. Work with all these museums, collectors around the world.
Okay.
Matter of fact, I'm doing the appraisal this afternoon on this, I'm assuming will be an award-winning TF-51 over here that Collings brought in. And we'll see how that works out.
Okay.
But the museum's small, eclectic collection, over 3,000 artifacts. We have a lot of fly-ins, car shows out at our place. We're really trying to do our part. What I say we are is a thread in the fabric of saving warbird history, because there's so many awesome museums around the country.
Right.
And one of the things we've been working on outside of the museum is we're trying to put a television show together. Been working on that for some time now, and it's kind of like American Pickers, called Chasing Planes. And we, these guys follow me around filming the acquisition, the recovery, the restoration, and then what do you do with the stuff? You fly it, you hang it from the ceiling because a legal department from Cessna calls and says you can't fly it, etc.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not easy running a museum. It's a big job, especially, you know, as all-volunteer organization out there. And that's one of the chapters I wrote in Chasing Planes, is why did I even pursue something like this? Putting a museum together, why are you doing that? Well, It has to do with some kid walking into my office one day with his dad and pointing at something on the side of one of our displays and saying, hey, do you have Wi-Fi in here? And in, that was the early days of Wi-Fi. And I said, yeah, why would you ask me that? It says over there. Where? Show me. So he pops up and looks at this thing, points at it, and it says WW2. I said, that's World War II. He goes, oh, yeah, I think we talked about that once in school.
Yeah.
And that was the day I decided I was going to do this museum. And, boy, it's been a ride since then. Biblical flooding out there, lovely economy.
Yeah.
You okay there?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Cough button. There we go.
Yeah,
all
right, you're back there, buddy. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's been a ride, but we just acquired a couple of really interesting planes, you guys, and this guy doesn't know that. We have just recently acquired the Mercury BT-120, and I bet you don't know what it is.
It's a biplane.
Yes.
And it's got wings that are staggered.
Oh, you're good.
This guy.
No.
Yes.
They only built three. How would you know that? There's only one in the world.
That's well, Andy Hines.
It's in our collection.
Yeah.
Well, I've been around this for 54 years.
I'm impressed.
And I know pretty much all the antique airplanes, you know, and can tell you about them and things like that.
Andy grew up with some guys named Orville and Wilbur.
Yeah.
That in downtown Dayton. He worked at a bicycle shop. And
what was the magazine where you guessed the airplane? Who did that?
Oh, Classic Wings.
Yeah, they actually told him to stop playing the Guess the Airplane of the Month.
Yeah, Classic
so they
Wings
said,
down
they
under.
Said, don't write in anymore, Andy, you know, because he kept guessing what it was all the time.
I'm like, this damn is it, no Andy. Fun.
Well,
I'll
ask Graham
about that next time I talk to him.
Three-year subscription.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, he was getting all these free subscriptions. So, you know, he's got like 800 years of
But you also have the first, you have the first bird dog, don't you?
Yeah, we have the prototype L-19 bird dog that hangs from our ceiling, unfortunately, is the giant disco ball. And the reason is that Sessions' legal department seriously contacted me and said, hey, that's the prototype. We don't know what kind of metal or processes went in, so for liability reasons, we do not fly it. I'm not going to battle Textron's legal department, so we hung it from the ceiling. Everything in our collection is restored to flyable condition. Doesn't mean we're going to fly a BD-5 jet. Scares me, to be honest with you. But the bird dog is the prototype there. We have a record-setting Lear 24, set five climb records, and that was from Eddie Walks. He used to race with a guy named Paul Newman.
Yes.
Messerschmitt 109. We just recently acquired an S2 tracker that's going to fly, rides.
Wow.
We have 13 planes. We actually have a Falcon 20 that I'm trying to sort out what I'm going to do.
Really?
With. Yeah. Falcon 20, but it's got fan engines, and you know what? I just found some guys right there operating L-39 with a fan. You never know.
Yeah.
We'll figure something out.
Wow. Yeah. What other antique airplanes do you have?
So antique, our window of history we focus on is from 1935 to 1975.
Okay.
Sweet spot is World War II. But we start with Amelia Earhart, have a bronze statue of her, one of only three in the world. And we remember during World War II, we had this guy, Curtis Pitts, flying the Pitts. So we have an old Pitts, an S1S that we're building up in dedication to Betty Skelton.
Okay.
Nobody knows about her for some reason, but it ties in nicely to NASCAR. And that's we have a spirit of speed element to some cars. And then we wrap our window of history up with Scott Carpenter, one of the original Mercury 7 astronauts from Boulder, Colorado.
Okay.
And we're building a full-size reproduction of his Mercury 7 capsule along with a bronze statue of him.
Wow.
Also.
Man.
So antique is an area that is not easy to play in, and they're hard to build, to be honest with you. So that's why the BT-120 is so important to us. And our goal is to have it here in 2 years. We'll have it on display. Again, the only one flyable in the world.
Right.
Again, a little scary, guys. It's only
These are antique gentlemen. We let them on Warbird Radio, but really they're Pete and Andy. They've grown up in this. And,
yep.
Throwing bombs out
Andy,
of paper.
Andy has furniture in his home from the Waco sales office. And when you bought a new Waco, you sat on this bench, and he actually had Pete gagged and tied in the closet when the family was doling out that piece. But but Andy hornswoggled it from him and got it. But yeah, these are guys that understand that.
Oh yeah.
So you should shake them down for money after the show.
I want to shake them down for a Red Bull or whatever you guys started with this morning.
Sadly, this is normal.
Yeah, this is normal.
Yeah,
wow.
This is
pretty
normal.
Much. Yeah.
This is kind of
all the time.
Way we do the show.
Yeah. I like it.
Good
yes.
stuff.
I like it.
Well, I like the book, and how can folks get a copy of this?
So we have I'm speaking today here at the Vetti Theater at the museum at 2:30. So if you're on the field today, come over for some air conditioning and get a copy of the book. Otherwise, you can go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or spiritofflight.com. You can order an autographed copy. Matt just got his this morning.
I got mine. Yeah, finally.
And,
been waiting a long time.
Fine review of that, too. Thank you, Matt.
You're welcome. It was a lot of fun.
But, you can get that and get Warbird Recovery also. All the proceeds go to our museum and to the recovery and restoration of our collection.
That's good. Yeah. Great. Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. So if you want to go find a 109, Mike, Gordon's the guy to call.
Exactly.
There's a lot of 109s popping up right now.
How many of those are yours that you've known about? Because I know people write in and they're like, hey, Gordon, for the right amount of money, I'll tell you where this thing is. And he gets that, like, strange emails from guys named Igor. And,
yeah.
Yeah, Olga. No, not so much anymore. I'm talking about a bunch of projects that are popping up now that are new build.
Legitimate.
Have been under restoration for 10, 15 years. They're getting close.
Uh-huh.
I was in Madras, Oregon the other day, and I saw the Ericsson Allison-powered 109. Mm-hmm. What an engineer. It hasn't flamed out yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, just so your size matters. Okay, so.
Yeah, that's why. That's
a cute.
I'm not even
commenting.
There's like crickets chirping in the background. Yeah. We went radio silence for a second there.
There's your commercial.
Well, the thing to keep in mind too is with regarding the book and the Spirit of Flight Centers. Go there, see it, and if you need an airplane appraised, Gordon is the guide. I'm not kidding you, Pete, because you're the only one that has anything worth anything. But if you ever need an airplane appraised, Gordon's done a few of ours and. He's really great at what he does. Really great at what he does. So
appreciate that, Matt.
Yeah, I mean, he writes it like on the back of a bar napkin, but you know, it's
it looks good with the pictures.
Yeah,
it's a nice
thing that he does.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, you guys wanted your next guest. Here they come. They're all coming over here, Mr. Cotton Ward and Gordon.
Thank you, Gordon. Thanks for coming on the show.
Yep, absolutely. Thank you.
Good to see you, Cotton. And we'll put you guys over here.
Yeah.
Don't let this guy steal your airplane back here that walked around the corner. You know that's Mr. Kevin Lacey and Cowden Ward. And come on over here. This is the director here of this fine film right here, Andy, The Last Man Club.
Okay.
Have a seat right here. And this is Mike Hartman and Andy Hines.
Mike Buzzard Hartman. How are you?
Love it. And I'm Andy Hines. How you doing?
Yes, here's a microphone for you. Right. And since we haven't been properly introduced, go ahead. What's your name?
Bo Brinkman.
Okay.
This is Bo Brinkman. I'm sorry.
All right, Bo. Tell us a little bit about The Last Man Club.
The Last Man Club. I got the idea, actually. I was in New York City in the back of a cab where you can see everything, of course. And four old World War II vets, this is like 20 years ago, pulled up beside us in a 65 Dodge Dart. And they all had beers in their hands.
Yeah.
And they had a plastic flag stuck in the dashboard, and they were laughing their asses off, you know. And I was like, man, I got to make a movie about these guys. And the next morning, I read an article in the New York Times about a Last Man Club. It was a World War I vet.
Uh-huh.
And there was a photograph in the paper, and it was just so poignant. It was this man, 90-year-old man, in a wheelchair holding an American flag and a bottle of cognac. And he said, I lived long enough to get to win the bottle, but I'm too damn old to drink it, you know. And that's when I decided. My father was fought seven major battles in the South Pacific, and he had just died, and I really wanted to write a story and pay homage to our greatest generation.
Mm-hmm.
So this particular film is about these four veterans that flew B-17 in the war, and they're at the end of their lives, and they're all living in their own private little prisons. You know, our lead character is living with his son and daughter-in-law, and his only real companion is the grandson, and mm-hmm. He gets a letter from played by Barry Corbin. He gets a letter from a VA hospital in Texas, and the letter is, you made an oath 70 years ago, you have to come here, you know, you're the last man. So he takes his deceased wife's car out of mothballs in the middle of the night, and by daybreak he puts his reunion uniform on and takes off attempts to take off across country from New Jersey to Galveston, Texas, to retrieve. We don't know what it is yet.
Okay.
You know? And along the way, he meets up with this young girl, Kate French, this beautiful young girl who's kind of on the lam from a relationship and a bad guy. And by happenstance, she becomes his tour guide. And along the way, they pick up two other members that he had lost touch with. He didn't even know they were around still. Mm-hmm. And who are living in their own private little prisons. And, you know, they steal one guy out of an old folks' home. Another one is living in a camper trailer behind a beer joint. And through the journey, they become men again. They find their vitality.
Right, right.
And through their camaraderie and through their brotherhood. Through also the journey, this young woman learns what a real man is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I like to call it an action adventure for geriatrics.
Yeah.
Because it gets pretty wild.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
An all-star cast in this film, and it was screened, I believe, last night, was it not?
No, it's screening today at 2:30.
Today at 2:30.
At the museum. At the
which is air-conditioned.
Which is
get them down there.
That being
right.
The key word.
That's
right.
Being it's air conditioned. So if you're listening today, then go down at 2:30 today. Now, how could folks at home see this?
Well, it opened in theaters May 27th around the country in select theaters. It's still opening. We just had an opening a couple of weeks ago in Virginia. It's opening in Orlando next month. And in Wichita Falls, Idaho. I'm sorry, Idaho Falls. And it'll be out on DVD November as well as pay-per-view cable.
Okay.
Now, what about like Netflix and stuff like that?
It won't be. Netflix will be next year.
Next year.
Yeah, Netflix and stuff. But yeah,
and
first,
Amazon and all that.
Yeah, and all that. That'll be the, you know, probably in January.
Okay.
But it'll be in pay-per-view, like, you know, Xfinity and those different cable outlets. It'll be pay-per-view there, and it'll also be on DVD and many locations, like, you know, Walmart, Best Buy, and Family Video, and
mm-hmm.
You know, it'll be on you know, all the different outlets that you can buy DVDs.
You know, I applaud you for making this film, and I applaud guys like Cowden and Kevin for kind of getting behind this project too, because we're all passionate about these stories. But you know, I it seems like the American public has sort of, it's, you know, it's, they could take it or leave it almost. Have you run into that trying to promote this, that people just don't understand the story?
Well,
they don't
yeah.
understand the history? I mean, is that a problem that
well,
you see coming too?
Well, we live in a divided country, and that division is, in many, you know, of course, politically, but also by age, you know. The people that came to the theater to see this movie were over 50. You know, 50 and over.
Okay.
The young people that actually came to the theater
and saw it, enjoyed
and
it.
Saw it, liked it, because, you know, we did a test screening in Los Angeles, of all places, with a bunch of UCLA kids, and all the girls came out crying. You know, they were like,
wow.
You know, this reminds me of my grandmother. My grandfather.
Right.
Or, you know, one girl came up and said, "I'm going to call my grandfather."
Right.
You know, so. But yeah, this is a story that we can, baby boomers can relate to, and millennials are like, you know, they want to see, you know, the action,
yeah.
animated,
right? Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
where there's no feeling, just
right.
a lot of action and death, and
yeah.
you know.
Now in the trailer, I've seen there's a B-17. Obviously, there's a B-17 in the poster there.
Yes.
Where and how did the filming go? Could you share with us,
man? I'll tell
a
you what,
bit about that.
Cowden Ward is one of our executive producers over here, and I had known CAF for quite some time, but you know, he's also a member, and he was very you know, helpful in remaking those contacts. I've been trying to make this movie for a long time, and you know, it went through the studio system years ago, and it was either, oh, it's too patriotic, or, oh, it's, we don't want to do a movie about old guys, or, you know, and I'd say, yeah, but there's a lot of movies that did very well with old guys. You know? No, we're just we want to do something new and fresh. Imagine. So I decided to do it. It was first with me and Charlton Heston were going to do it together. And we were raising the money privately. And then in 2000, he came to me. He was very instrumental in helping me develop it for his character. And he also became a very dear friend. Hmm. 2000, he came to me and said, there's nothing I can't do it. I've got Alzheimer's and it's a very aggressive. And so he bowed out. And then in 2002, I got it with Charles Durning and Mira Savino and Wilford Brimley and a bunch of guys. And we raised the money, and then the other half of the contracted money could not come through.
Right.
So we shut down again. And we actually shot on the B-17 at that time, owned by the Texas Flight Museum in Galveston. Everybody wanted to see us. Everybody in aviation wanted to see this movie done. You know?
Yeah.
And so CAF, they just did wonders for us. They were so wonderful. And we couldn't have made the movie without them.
Right.
They were very helpful, and they allowed us to get in that plane, and we flew it a lot, and we could have never afforded it, you know, had it not been for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they made it affordable for us.
Right,
you know?
Right. Good.
So it was a great experience, you know, because this last time we did it, you know, like I told the guys at CAF, because they'd known me for a long time, because I'd been telling them we're going to make this movie for a long time.
Yeah.
And so they were... I told him, I said, this is my last chance to really do this, because afterwards we're going to be making a period piece.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are...
Yeah, the longer you wait...
The longer... Yeah. Now it's like almost a suspension of belief, because, you know, now we've got World War II veterans in their 90s, you know.
Yeah.
15 years ago, it would have been more believable, because, you know, but now everybody is on walkers and wheelchairs, about it, you know, so... Anyway, we got it done, and people really, I talked to a lot of people coming out of different theaters, because I went to theaters around the country and talked to audiences as they came out, and a lot of times I'd present the film. And, you know, it just brought people back and made people think about our greatest generation once again, you know, let's not forget them.
Right, yeah, absolutely.
You know, and their stories, the ones that are alive, they're still relevant. They're still, you know, they're still with us, and we can't discard them and sweep them under the rug for the next generation.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
No, I would think that this would be a good hit, you know, today. I mean, I really do, and I'm not unfamiliar with this. I, you know, I think I've seen the trailer for it, and we have like a theater, we're from Dayton, Ohio, that it's called Neon Movies, that shows films like this. Okay.
Awesome. Would you consider this an independent film, even?
Oh, it is absolutely 100%.
Yeah. Right. You know, and so that's, I've kind of been waiting to see if it shows up at that theater, you know, in Dayton, Ohio.
Well,
you know,
we can make it happen.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah,
we should
certainly make it happen.
Yeah, certainly with Dayton, you know.
I would think that the museum that you have there in Dayton would be all about this.
Yeah,
you
know, I would, too, that they, you know, this would
that
be
a little
movie.
Air Force museum we
have.
Yeah,
we got
here,
a cute little Air Force museum
in
there.
Dayton,
you may have heard of it.
They have a movie theater.
This would do well in Dayton.
Let me call Ron Kaplan.
Yeah.
I mean, get everything set up.
Deal with Ron?
I know Ron.
Let's get Ron going.
Is he here? I wanted to meet with him. We've talked on the phone many times. My friend J. Todd Anderson, who is a storyboard artist, mm-hmm. who does all the, every big film. He's huge, and he lives in Dayton most of the time. And he hooked me up with Ron, and he is telling me over and over again, "Bo, your movie needs to be in Dayton. What's the problem?"
Yeah,
I'd love
it
for
needs
that to
be
happen.
In Dayton. Yep, absolutely. No, I think it would do well.
Yeah, it would do great in Dayton. Yep. It's kind of the mecca of aviation.
I'm telling you, that's what he says. He goes, "Man, we're the most historical town in the United States."
That's where it's at. Yes, it'd do. Yes, we'll get you set up down there. Definitely.
Yeah, no, that would be great. Absolutely.
Well, awesome. Thanks for coming on.
Oh, thank you for telling
us about it.
It's been a great experience.
These guys give me a hard time. They said we never have any A-listers, and
you know, now we're getting them.
Far from
you know, I'm telling you. What else have you worked on that we may know?
As an actor, I did a couple of films, Gods and Generals and Gettysburg. I did those two.
Yeah, Gettysburg.
I played the same character in each. I like to say, when you see General Lee, you see me. I wrote and produced a little movie called Card Shark about a gambler, and we take him from the early 1950s through the late 60s. And
good deal.
And so, yeah, and we're working on another film. We're getting ready to go in October.
Well, I like it.
Goat Hill Road.
Last Man Club. I want to bring you know this guy behind you, don't you, Kevin Lacey?
I just met him.
Kevin, when he stands around, I get nervous. But I wanted to bring him over so the guys could talk to Kevin too. But
awesome.
Thanks again, Bo, and Last Man Club today at 2:30.
All right,
right here at the museum. At
we'll see y'all there. Yeah.
Thank you, sir. Right. Nice meeting you. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bo Brinkman.
Good luck
there on the Hartman and Hines show. Kevin Lacey. Many of you know Kevin Lacey. He's the guy that steals airplanes. He repossesses airplanes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
we're gonna have a party foul. Be careful there, Kevin. Come on in here.
All right.
Good morning.
Good morning. This is Mike Hartman.
Mike Buzzard Hartman.
And, Mike Buzzard Hartman.
Yes, yes.
Well, that's a handful, isn't it?
Yeah,
been shot at?
Yeah, well, you know.
Andy Hines there.
Yeah.
Everybody knows you from that airplane repo show, but you have something new in the works.
Well,
is what I was told.
Well, Matt, I'm really working on it. I've got some of the little minor pieces in place. I'm looking for funding and finances so that I can take a TV
Mike
show.
Hartman right there could write it.
Oh, yeah.
I can write the whole thing.
Well, here's what I'm trying to do, and I'll just give you a sense of what I'm up to now. I'm going to call this little project, the working title is Inside the Fence.
Yeah. Okay.
And Inside the Fence, you guys have noticed, just visualize yourself being a 33-year-old mom of a 14-year-old boy says, Mom, I want to go to the airport.
Yeah,
and then go to the dang airport and drive yourself around
right.
with
you
her, with through her eyes, and see if you can find your way in the airport.
Yeah,
and you're going to go, holy cow! These airports have turned into the most inhospitable places in the country.
Sure,
I mean it's just there is no welcome mat anywhere. There's no trespassing signs, razor cap wire fences everywhere. You know, and we're going to jail if you guys come out here. You know, and so And if you listen to the industry insiders out here nowadays, they're saying, we're screaming for pilots. We can't find mechanics. I was sitting there babysitting double hot sections on a Citation XL 2 weeks ago, and the boys over there busting the engines apart were trying to recruit me to go to work because they can't find help over there that's qualified, knowledgeable about what they're doing.
Right.
And so Inside the Fence is kind of trying to design this and try to fund it up front so that I don't get Hollywood to mess it all up and dictate what the content's all about, so that we can make this, number one, exciting, number two, interesting, and number three, make people want to find their way inside that fence simply because what's going on out there is really cool.
Right.
So, you know, if that makes any sense
to you. No, that is an absolutely awesome idea.
Well, and the deal is that for some reason through the social media networks and what have you, I don't know why, but I have wound up with a huge following of kids. And, you know, they somehow or another I just connect with them, just maybe because it's the way I'm a straight shooter or whatever it is. I'm bow-legged. I don't know what the heck the attraction is, but they kind of like it, you know. And so I have had numerous kids ask me how to get to the airport, and I have sat down. And I've sat down and got up my laptop and looked at the FBOs and, you know, told the FBO, this kid's coming over here, put a broom in his hand, make him sweep the hangar floor. You know, I've hooked him up with Young Eagle flights and a variety of different parts of the country.
I've seen this man talk to kids for hours down at Sun and Fun, you know, behind the announcer stand. We'll have him up there, and he talks and talks. To your credit, I mean, you walk the walk, Kevin. Mike Hartman has a lot of kids that follow him on Facebook, but it's because he's got that van that says free candy on his we don't condone that, but, you know.
We were actually discussing.
Well, whatever you got to do to get a following, I guess.
I know, right? Whatever you got to do.
We were discussing this a lot this week about what you're saying, getting on the other side of the fence and having the kids learn about aviation. Because a lot of times now, like you're saying, it's inaccessible. And for some of them, some of the guys, even once they make it in, and they want to talk to some of these guys, they're still pretty inaccessible to them.
Well, you know, a lot of these things, the airport manager or what have you, will have their little official tour that they'll take somebody and give them a little tour around the airport with. And that's such a sterile tour.
Yeah.
You know, they don't get the opportunity to slip in a puddle of oil and fall down and break their arm or anything.
Right.
You know,
yeah,
I mean, there's so many things that we've sterilized this world so much that, you know, you can't bang your head on a prop anymore, you know, and just go, wow, it's leaking, you know.
Yeah.
Doggone it. You know, well, hey, look at that airplane. That's pretty cool, you know.
Yeah.
While we're wiping
the
blood off. But, you know, I'm also, you know, as part of other things that I do, I'm a field representative for the Young Eagles program. And I've even got a couple of YouTube videos out there on my YouTube channel, me videotaping and doing young eagle flights with youngsters, and I do a bunch of those flights in town.
Now, do you just show up and, like, jump the fence with the kids and take whatever you want, or is this like prearranged?
No, Matt, I generally don't jump the fence when I show up. I show up with the airplane and make them jump the fence.
There you go.
If you can hurdle that fence and get here without getting caught, we're going for a ride,
Andy,
boys.
Andy may be in the market for a jet. You were telling me yesterday about a recent acquisition.
Oh, well, yeah, like I said, I was just, you know, I'm babysitting a maintenance event going on in Kansas.
But something about a jet with one engine that you ferried home, is that?
What, a jet with one engine? Oh, you mean that three-legged Citation that
barely
ran?
Yeah, three-legged Citation that barely ran.
Yeah, and an engine that needs to go through the overhaul shop. Yeah. Well, there's no bargains there, boys and girls, because that's going to be $250,000 fix on that thing. And then by that time that gets all gussied up, the numbers on the airplane start looking good, and now it's a $3.5 million
airplane. But you flew it home, though. You got it.
Well, sure I did.
Flew it home with one.
Well, some folks just don't have any sense. That's why they call me.
The real deal there, Kevin Lacy.
Yeah. Well, the other side of the other thing that I do as well, maybe I'd like to point out, is I'm also a mentor, and I mentor what's called the Eagle's Nest Project. The local high schools in McKinney, Texas, have initiated this Eagle's Nest Project, and what that is their aviation program kids. The junior and senior kids have the opportunity to participate in the building and construction of an RV-12. And, I mean, when we started this program back in September, first thing we did was started these kids out building workbenches. And it took about 3 weeks, but we wound up with six three-legged workbenches. And at the end of another week later, somebody figured out if they keep sawing the legs down, eventually they'll either be on the floor or they'll finally get them level.
Wow.
And now at the end of the school year, we've almost got a flyable RV-12.
Well, that's awesome.
If you go down here to Home Builders Corner over here, there are seven of the RV-12s that were built by students mentored by folks like me around the country.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see them. The student builder names are all on the side of the airplanes, and it's really a program I'm proud to be a part of. But, you know, I don't know what else I can do. I'm doing everything I can to try to help promote aviation through whatever venue I can find. And I think Inside the Fence is... you know, I just, everywhere I look, I see another opportunity, another episode, and another something, and I think we can make it entertaining and exciting without the influence of some scriptwriter sitting in some dark, smoke-filled room in Hollywood.
Right.
Exactly.
There you go. Well, thanks for coming by, Kevin.
Hey, Matt, thanks for having me on,
guys.
I know
you guys are running around out here, Cowden, and trying to keep up with him.
Oh, well, I don't know what's going on out here, but,
good.
Been having a great time. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Hey, thank you.
Nice
Kevin
meeting you.
Yeah, well. Mike and Andy, it's been a long show, hasn't it, good sir?
Yes,
well, it's been a good show though.
Yes, and I think that we should take us out, Matt, not you.
I'm not.
You know, this is our turn. All right, now we're going on to our next segment.
Uh-oh.
This is called When Mike and Andy Sit Here and Talk About Airplanes.
I thought it was when Matt played
music. Matt, where's our music? Where's the fiddles?
This is our special music.
This is our special music.
Yeah.
Live from Oshkosh, I'm Mike Buzzard Hartman.
And
thank you.
Andy Hines.
Oh, I was, yes.
Oh, okay.
Thanks for coming on. We've had a lot of great guests on here.
And, A-listers.
A-listers. And Oshkosh has been absolutely wonderful so far. A little warm out here. Stay cool, people. Drink a lot of water out there. Looks like we've got a pretty sizable studio audience today, which is different. Different from the cats and the rats that are usually in the hangar listening to us.
Right.
So anyway, gentlemen, everybody, thanks for coming on. Thanks for coming to Oshkosh.
And we'll see you back. We'll see you back when our regular scheduled time, whatever that is.
Whenever that is.
That might
whenever
be.
That may be.
All right.
So long.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.